Well, now is our time to dig a little more deeply into God's Word together. So if you have a personal Bible or a Bible app with you, I hope you'll get that out. If not, there are red ones in front of you. Should be in front of you in any of the pews there. And I hope you'll have one of those out and open as we go together. Page number for the pew Bibles is listed in the bulletin. If you are looking for it on your own, it'll be in the book of Proverbs, starting in chapter 16, but we'll be moving around to a couple different points, which is why it's good to have it in front of you. It's good to be back with you this week. I appreciate Roger Woodworth filling the pulpit last week. He did an excellent job. If you missed his sermon on that, it's definitely worth a listen from our website. I also appreciate you giving us some time to travel and be with family, but it's good to be back here with you as we're gearing up for our ministry year. And also today, as we're going to finish out this little sermon series that we've been doing throughout the summer on the book of Proverbs. We're going to close that out here today. If my high school guidance counselor and I had been correct, then I would have been an architect. I mean, after all, that's what several rounds of conversations and those career path tests and my general interests seemed to indicate. So she helped me apply to schools, and I was accepted into several different programs based on that plan. I matriculated, and I was all set towards working towards this particular goal of being an architect. And as you can tell, she and I knew exactly what we were doing, right? How do you go about planning or preparing for the future? How do you do it? Do you precisely map out every single detail with this clear but unflinching focus on well-defined goals, or do you just sit back and relax? Take one day at a time, and whatever life happens to throw at you, you just figure out how to deal with. Is there a particular kind of wisdom or guidance that we can glean from Scripture when it comes to the idea of making plans for tomorrow? I mentioned that we've been doing this little sermon series in the book of Proverbs, and if you've been with us, I hope you have seen at this point that Proverbs is really an intensely practical book. It addresses the kinds of questions that people have been asking for thousands of years. Questions like, what does it look like to live wisely and well in this world? What kind of motivations ought I to have as I go about these things? Where do I find guidance or direction for this? What kind of foundation is underneath it all? And we're going to get back into that one more time. Again, before we do that, let me invite you to pray with me. Holy God, you are perfect in your wisdom and in your actions. We ask that you would open our ears to hear your teaching and our minds to receive your instruction. Father, let your Spirit so attend to your word that it comes alive in our hearts and transforms us. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, for it's in the matchless name of Jesus, the Christ, that we pray these things. Amen. To get the conversation started this morning, we're going to use Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9, although we will be looking at a few other ones. But I invite you to listen again to the word of the Lord. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Now, some of you have been here off and on throughout the summer as we've gone through this particular series. A few of you may have been here for the entire thing. Some of you may be here for the very first time today. Either way, I want to just give you a little refresher as to the framework that we've used in looking at this book of Proverbs. We've tried to acknowledge that it's just very significant to have a book like this in Scripture in the first place, because it shows us that God cares about the day-to-day things of life. The actions and interactions that we have in life, these things matter. Our faith is not just about lofty theological speculation, but what we do and how we do it is important. And we've said that biblical wisdom has a very distinct foundation and function. The foundation of biblical wisdom, as we're told right at the beginning of the book of Proverbs, is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That means a right and true understanding of who God is and who we are before him, what he's done for us. And the function of biblical wisdom, then, is not just to make life easier or more enjoyable for us, but it shows us how we are to live, not just as individuals, but also as a community, how we can go about unveiling this redeemed community to the world, displaying the new identity that we have in Christ. And we may think that we have the internal resources to do this, We don't, though, which is why Proverbs says near the beginning that we are to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. That's a framework, then, that we've taken, and we've looked at a few of the different topics that Proverbs addresses. Topics like a biblical approach to wealth, wisdom when it comes to our words and how we speak, wisdom in work, how we're supposed to go about doing the things that we do, what right relationships ought to look like. Last week, Roger offered up some great thoughts on what it means to contribute to the flourishing of the city. And today, I want to have us think about what it means to be wise in approaching the future. Proverbs might seem to offer two contradictory perspectives on this. We're going to look at that first. What we'll do is look at that first. It might seem to give us two different paths towards this. And then I want to say, well, given that and given all we find in Scripture, what kind of approach are we to take to planning, preparing, even just looking to the future? So that's the way we're going to go about that here together now. The first perspective that we find in Proverbs is this. The first perspective is that there are benefits to seeking wise counsel and planning. It's good to do this. Wisdom involves seeking the counsel of others and preparing yourself to go and do the things that you believe you want to do and accomplish. That's true for individuals. That's true for organizations. It's true for countries. Here are just a couple of examples that we find of this in Proverbs, this kind of thinking, this language. Proverbs 11:14 says this, "Where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety." Chapter 15, verse 22 puts it like this, "Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed." I don't think there's anything particularly shocking about this kind of advice. It probably just sounds like common sense to a lot of us. Seek guidance. Look for some people to counsel you as you are making these plans. And we do this. We seek guidance and feedback in a lot of different areas. Certainly the big decisions of life will prompt us to go and bounce some ideas off people or seek some guidance. Where should I go to school? What kind of job should I pursue? Should I spend my life with somebody? If so, who might that person be? We tend to do that when we're faced with big decisions. We do it even in smaller areas in our life also, though. I mean, it's really the basic premise behind things like Yelp. Or any kind of online review platform for that matter. You want to know, is this worth me going to that restaurant? Is it worth me purchasing this computer or seeing that movie? Give me some feedback, everybody. So we do this a lot of times. We don't always do it, though. We don't often seek wise counsel, and we see the results of that. I mean, far too often, perhaps in your own life you've seen it or in others, you've seen people end up in difficult situations with our finances, with relationships, careers, or even health, because they've not sought out guidance or advice or counsel or thought things through. And sometimes, and this is very self-destructive, sometimes we do think that we're seeking out guidance, but it's really just some kind of echo chamber of carefully selected and curated voices that is just going to affirm everything that we say, endorse every opinion that we have, and never help us to see any blind spots or errors. Seeking wise counsel is good, it's important. It's also a learned skill. So one of the things that we see in Proverbs, and really throughout Scripture, is that God has nothing against careful, strategic, realistic, thoughtful planning. It's a good thing, we're told. Proverbs actually strongly encourages us to do this. It also has a different perspective. It might seem like a different perspective. Because another thing that we find in Proverbs is that there are real limits to wise counsel and planning. So we're told that there are a lot of benefits. We're also told, well, there are limits to this. And everyone here, I'm sure, everybody here can think of some time in your life that a carefully constructed plan or vision for the future did not unfold the way that you expected. Those experiences can be painful when they happen because they remind us that we are not in control of the universe. Here's a couple examples that we find of this in Proverbs. Chapter 19, verse 21 says, "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it's the purpose of the Lord that will stand." And we're told in chapter 27, verse 1, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring." Now, this is not meant to be like a cosmic wet blanket. This is a sober assessment and an honest observation of our reality. I don't think that any one of us can deny that this is the way that it is. We don't know how things are actually going to go. We may have a whole lot of plans in our mind, but it's the Lord's purposes that will stand. I'm sure you've got some example in your life about this. It's also something that we can see a lot of places, the business world in particular. The business world in particular is littered with the carcasses of failed plans that might have sounded good, but ended up crashing and burning, right? Sometimes spectacularly so. The Ford Edsel, New Coke, Crystal Pepsi, Betamax, right? The McDonald's Arch Deluxe, Microsoft Zune. I mean, the list is just endless. And I'm not suggesting that God sabotaged these products, but he sure didn't seem to help their sales any, right? I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. And that truth can hit home. That can be a very painful thing to realize when it hits on a personal level, with the unexpected loss of a job or the end of a marriage or the death of a loved one. There can be very painful times when that hits home. So what do we say in those times? What do we say in those times? A lot of people, I think, it's well-intentioned and they're trying to be helpful, will say something like, well, don't worry, God has a better plan, or this is all for the best. And whatever theological truth might be somewhere in there, that's not what people want to hear or need to hear when they are dealing with grief or tragedy or sorrow. And it's also not exactly what these proverbs are getting at. Right? You can find some of those ideas different places. That's not precisely what these ones are getting at. What they are doing is reminding us of the need for humility, and they're giving us a warning about boasting. They're reminding us that there needs to be humility as we go about doing this, and they're warning us to not fall into boasting. It was in 1875 that the English poet William Ernest Henley published what might be his most famous little poem. It's called Invictus. And it very famously ends with this verse when it says, I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my own soul. Well, Proverbs and the rest of Scripture says, yeah, about that, you're really not. You're really not. Now, it's good. It is good to have fortitude and determination and courage and conviction. Those things are good. Wisdom involves knowing that even those things have their limits. Wisdom involves knowing that it's foolish to boast about your ability to predict the future or perfectly orchestrate and control it. So if you look at these things, it might feel like a little bit of a tension. I don't know if you feel that. It can feel like a little bit of a tension because Proverbs, on one hand, says it's good. Plan for tomorrow. Seek counsel and guidance and go about setting up what you believe God is calling you to do. But then it also says, but it might not happen. So we might feel a little bit of a tension there. And it can be easy for us. It can be easy for us to swing entirely to one end of that or another, to swing to extremes. That's not the picture that we find in Scripture, though. We're not told to swing to one extreme or the other. So we ought not to go through life with some kind of over-realized arrogance about the future. But we're also not to go through life with just dejected resignation or some kind of ambivalent fatalism. Here's what we are supposed to do. Here's how we are supposed to approach this. Make your plans, but do that while trusting in the wisdom and the certainty of God's purposes, because those are grounded in His character. Make your plans, that's a good thing, but do that with humility, trusting in the wisdom and certainty of God's purposes because they are grounded in His character. God's purposes are grounded in God's character. God is good, therefore His purposes are good. Now, if we say that somebody is good, if I say somebody is good, what I really mean is she displays goodness in her speech or her actions from time to time. When we say that God is good, when we say that it's one of God's attributes, it means that it is an irreducible and unchangeable aspect of God's identity and character. God cannot not be good, which means that God's purposes cannot not be good. I know there are a lot of negatives in there. I think you followed me, right? God cannot not be good, and therefore his purposes cannot not be good. Here's a verse that gets at some of this. Well, the other thing we say, in addition to his goodness is God's steadfastness. Right? God's steadfastness. He is sure and certain in accomplishing the things that he has said he's going to accomplish. Here now is a verse that touches on some of these things. This is Numbers 23, verse 19. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? God will do what he has said he will do, and what God will do is good because of who he is. And the central plan of God, the central plan and purpose of God that is displayed all throughout Scripture is this: to save a people for himself through the work of his Son, rescuing them from their sins, redeeming them from death, and eventually resurrecting them from the grave and restoring all things. This is the central purpose and plan of God that we see all through Scripture, to save a people for himself through the work of his Son. See, Old Testament, there's an Old Testament theologian named Walter Kaiser, and he would often speak of what he called the promise plan of God. And he said the promise plan of God is what you see, especially through the Old Testament, all these promises that God has made, saying, this is what I will do for my people, pointing ahead to the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And everything we find in the New Testament really then is the announcement that these things have taken place and that everything has changed because of that. That God has done what he said he will set out to do. Everything that has ever happened was either building up to these events, or in some ways you could think of it as the aftershock of these events, and all of them are working towards that time when Jesus will come again and usher in the new heavens and the new earth. This is God's purposes. They are sure and certain. So here's what that means for us. The reason I spend a moment on God's character and God's purposes is this is what we see. Scripture also does this. It affirms two corresponding truths. Scripture affirms two corresponding truths. First, that God is in complete control and sovereign over everything. And second, that we have the capacity for real, genuine, meaningful action. We're not puppets on a string, but neither is the future uncertain or left to chance. And that might not resolve itself as philosophically neatly and simply as we'd like, yet this is the testimony of Scripture. And it's also, I would argue, it's also the shared experience of human existence. To know that God is in control and sovereign over all things, and yet we have the capacity for real, genuine, meaningful action. So that's a deep topic, I know. Very briefly, how do we live and act in light of these things? How do we live and act in light of these things? Well, as I mentioned a moment ago, we go ahead and make our plans as wisely and well as we can. But we do that with humility, trusting that the Lord will work out all things according to his purposes. I read to you, we looked at chapter 16, verse 9. Here's how this chapter begins. This is chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. And you see both of these ideas in here, I think. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Now, when he says there, commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established, that doesn't mean just because you make plans and then offer up a little prayer, they're guaranteed to succeed. That's not what he's getting at there. Established means more grounded, and there's a solid foundation. There is actually something underneath them. So here's a quote that I think is helpful. This comes from a commentary on the book of Proverbs by Tremper Longman III. Longman writes this: the thought is not that we simply pray for God to honor our plans and to establish them. Rather, it is the idea that we submit our entire life's actions to God, so that even if our human plans are subverted, we can recognize an even deeper plan at work in our lives. In other words, committing your work to the Lord, when it says commit your work to the Lord, it means that your plans are going to have a solid foundation underneath them if you are trying to align yourself with God's will and desire in the first place. That's the first step. You can't just make any plan you want and think that it'll be a good one. The first step is to try, at least, to align ourselves with God's will and desire, what we find displayed for us in Scripture. And yet we need to go about all of this with humility. All of it with humility. And that's wisdom we do find elsewhere. Randy read just a few moments ago from the book of James. The book of James is something like wisdom literature in the New Testament in a lot of ways. And in the book of James, I'm going to read it for you again. He writes this near the end of his letter. He says this, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring." You hear him quoting Proverbs at that point? "You do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil." So James is saying, look, you can draw up your business plans for international expansion. We're going to go to this city and that city and make some money. But do that with humility and trust. You can go ahead and make travel plans and set 5-year goals for yourselves, but do that with humility and trust. Pursue your master's or your PhD, but do that with humility and trust. Sign a mortgage, save for retirement, but do that with humility and trust. What we ought to say, James says, is if the Lord wills. That expression, Lord willing. Lord willing, it might seem like just a kind of quaint, out of fashion expression. I think we should use it more. Lord willing. Even that is a brief confession of faith, and it's a reminder of reality. Lord willing, these things will happen. So, to sum up what we're trying to get out of Proverbs on this idea, make your plan, seek counsel, do it as well as you possibly can, but do it with humility and trust and an acknowledgement that you are not the Lord, but there is one who is good and certain and steadfast. Well, we have now spent 8 weeks at least just surveying the book of Proverbs, so I think that means you should be fully equipped to go and live wisely and well in this world. And if you'd like some kind of documentation to prove this, you can email the office. We'll print out a certificate. You can hang it on your wall, confirming that you are always going to make good decisions and act responsibly because you've now read some of the book of Proverbs, right? That's not the way it works. We know that. We know that's not the way it works. Biblical wisdom, if you remember this, as I shared with you at the very beginning of this series, biblical wisdom is not just divine data transfer. It's not just about collecting the right information or gathering the right insights. Wisdom is taking the things that God has revealed and then applying them to everyday life. Wisdom is going beyond just being informed. Wisdom leads to us being transformed. And so I think the opening words of the book of Proverbs are a great way to close out this series that we do on it. I want you to listen again. This is how the book begins, chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Let me begin in verse 2, actually. "To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equality, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Let's pray together. Great and gracious God, life is often hard, uncertain, complex. Give us the desire to seek guidance and counsel as we plan, and give us the humility to trust in you when our plans fail. Father, we praise you for your unshakable goodness and steadfast purposes, and for the promises confirmed in Jesus Christ. Enable us to live wisely and well in your world, not merely for our own benefit, but so that we may reflect you to all of those around us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.